So if you can, would you turn with me to the book of Jonah? The book of Jonah, chapter 1. So this morning, we're only going to have 6 verses. Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, as we open up your word, Father, that you would indeed speak to our hearts and minds, that we might be obedient to what it is that you are calling us to. Thank you for the book of Jonah, and just pray, Lord, as we embark on this journey, Lord, that you would indeed be with us and go before us each and every week. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. So I'm excited. I'm excited. One is because it's the beginning of Jonah, and the beginning of Jonah, it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the entire book in terms of everything that's going to play out from chapter 1 all the way until chapter 4. And so if I had to give a subject to this message, the subject would be "Arise, you sleeper." And so if you can, would you tell someone close to you, "Arise, you sleeper." You can do better than that. Tell them, "Arise, you sleeper." Yes. And so one of the things really is the theme of this is all about God's calling upon our life. And I truly believe, and I would hope that your belief is, that each and every one of us has a divine calling upon our life. In essence, there's a purpose, there's a reason for our existence. And so God has blessed each and every one of us with gifts. He's blessed each and every one of us with talents. And it is for us to tap into those gifts and talents to allow God to use us for that purpose. So whatever that fundamental reason why we are here, we always have to know that God has given each and every one of us a calling. And as we're going to see, Jonah is actually being called by God. And you might say, how do you know that Jonah is being called by God? Because of the opening verse simply says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." We don't know how the word came to Jonah. Did it come to Jonah through a vision? Did it come to Jonah through a dream? But we know through, according to scripture, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And again, each of us has a calling upon our life. And oftentimes, that is one of those tough questions to answer. You know, what is the reason why you're here? What is the purpose why I am here today? And I would hope, whether it's by the end of this sermon, but at some point in your life, that you would realize what it is that God is calling you to and what it is that God is desiring to do in and through your life. And it's simple in terms of what it is that we see God is calling Jonah to do. It's simply 2 commands. The first one, he tells Jonah to arise and go. And this message to Jonah, this message through Jonah, as we can see, is urgent. very urgent. And God is sending or desiring to send Jonah to Nineveh to preach against everything that is taking place there. And one of the things that we're going to see as we, again, journey through the book of Jonah is that Nineveh is not only just a great city, but it's a wicked city. It's a city that is not just filled with a number of people, but it's filled with sin. And so God is displeased. And as we see in our text this morning, that their sins, their evilness has been so great that it has come up to God. I mean, it would be great if something good was to come up to God, that God would be pleased, that he would send down and shower down his blessings. But yet God is not pleased with what's taking place. And if Jonah chooses not to go to Nineveh, there would be total destruction. That a large amount of people would perish because of their sins. But one of the things that I love about the story is, instead of God just punishing, instead of God just destroying this multitude of people, he's desiring that they might come to a place of repentance, that they might come to a place of understanding what they have done and turn away from their sins through the preaching of Jonah. And as we see, one of the things that Jonah is doing is he's running away from the call. Take a moment and pause there. How many of us are running away from what the Lord is calling us to do? Because truthfully, if you're not running to or embracing what God is calling you to, then you're running from it or fleeing from it. And so we see clearly what Jonah is doing. Jonah hears what God has called him to do, and now Jonah is running. He's fleeing from the presence of God. Does that strike you anyway? Because how can you run from God? How can you run from his presence if he's everywhere? But for Jonah, I'm sure he's smart enough to know this, that he cannot flee from God's presence, but he's trying. But I think one of the things that Jonah's life teaches us is that we can either accept God's calling upon our life, or we can reject God's calling upon our life. And so it's the decision that each and every one of us has to make, not just one moment in our life, but I believe this is a daily decision that we have to make. Every single day, we have a choice to make, whether we continue to follow God's will for our life, or we choose to follow our will for our life. And so we are always, in essence, like Jonah, at a port. Which ship are you going to take? Which ship are you going to embark upon? Are you going to say, thy will be done, or my will be done? And I think one of the things, as we're going to close with today, eventually, is that when we think about Jesus and in his earthly ministry, his will was to do that of the Father. And Jesus even said himself, not my will, but thy will be done. And ultimately, one of the things that teaches me, one of the things I hope it teaches us, is that ultimately God is going to have his way.
Yes. Amen.
In our life. And so you have a decision, and it's saying, do you follow me now, or do you surrender at some other point? It almost seems like a no-brainer, because do I have to wait until I'm in trouble or am I in the midst of a storm to accept or to realize what God is trying to do in it through my life? Or when things are comfortable, when things are familiar, do I accept what God is trying to do in my life? And so that choice is always there. And I believe it's a daily choice, a choice that each and every one of us have to make. And it's amazing because, as we've mentioned, Jonah is fleeing. He's running away from it. And you wonder, why is he running? Why is he fleeing from the presence of God? One of the reasons is probably because of fear of how great the city of Nineveh is. The city of Nineveh is a great city. It's a mighty city. And so it's kind of like God is calling me to do something that he perceives as impossible. But we always say, we talk and realize that with God, all things are possible. Even in those situations, God might be calling us to something that may seem very difficult, but we know with God, is possible. So, one of the things that I always refer to, there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It simply says, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. So not only is God calling us, but he's also going to provide a way. He's also going to equip us for whatever it is that he's calling us to do. And so he's not just gracing us with the call, but he's going to grace us to endure whatever the journey is ahead of us. And so it's up to us to be obedient. It's up to us to have faith and trust that he is going to complete the very thing that he has begun in us. And so I pray, my hope, my desire is that at some point in your life that you would be able to, when it's all said and done, that you would be able to say, Lord, I have finished the race. I have finished the race. I have done everything that you have asked me to do. I probably have not done it in your way, always right. But Lord, I know at this point in my life, I have completed the race. Mm-hmm. Or you may be at a point where you say, Lord, I desire to do your will. I desire that your will be done in and through my life. Mm-hmm. Because I know that if I choose not to accept this call, a whole entire city, a whole entire people would vanish. Mm-hmm. And Jonah is pretty selfish at this point, if you will. Not to badmouth him by any means, but he's pretty selfish in terms of you have a huge amount of people. And what is Jonah's concern is? Potentially with just himself. I mean, it would seem to be obvious to us that his concern would be to save and to declare the goodness of God to a multitude of people so that they might repent and turn and be saved. It would make sense that Jonah would have that mindset, that desire to have the desire that God has to not that any of these people in the city would perish. But Jonah is fleeing and he's running away. And it's amazing because it seems as if Jonah has gotten away. It seems as if he has fled from God. Because he not only pays the fee to get on the ship, but he gets on the ship and he lays down and now he's asleep and the ship is moving. And Jonah, it looks like he's gotten away. It looks like Jonah has somehow freed himself from this calling upon God's life. But as I mentioned earlier, is that regardless of how far you run, regardless of where you run to, the Lord will have his way.
Amen.
And so it's, again, would you submit to the sovereign will of God? Would you submit to his authority in your life? And one of the things that I sort of laugh about, but I'm also serious, is that oftentimes in life, it can seem as if you're moving forward and you're doing God's will. You're doing what you believe that you're called to do, but yet you're actually not. Because it seems as Jonah is he's moving forward. He's moving. It seems as if he's doing what is right. And sometimes I think that's what we also do. Our plans, our dreams, our ambitions. Sometimes those plans can be overlooked and not really us considering what it is that God is calling us to do. And so he's fleeing. And as we see, one of the things that happens is the Lord is not through with Jonah. Jonah is sound asleep under the ship, but God sends a great wind upon the sea. And there was a mighty tempest upon the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each one cried out to his God and said, throw the cargo that the ship into the sea might lighten for them. And so now the Lord, I believe in his providence care, sends this great wind. He sends this great wind, and not to destroy the boat, not to kill Jonah and those on the ship, but he sends it, what I would say, as a reminder. He sends the storm as a message. He sends it as a reminder of the calling. And I believe that in life, we also need reminders of the calling upon our life. I have a plaque that I brought this morning, and it's one of those, it's a plaque that you are presented with through the Church of the Nazarene. And one of the things that they do, the plaque simply says, the plaque is in honor of DeAndre Jones' commitment and service to the Church of the Nazarene. The one who called you is faithful and he would do it. But really, what this plaque reminds me of is the calling. And simply on the top, as you are going into the process of ordination, you receive a plaque. And then eventually at the end, you receive a statue. Again, and that statue reminds you of the calling upon your life. And every time I have an opportunity to look at this plaque, it reminds me of what it is that God has called me to do. Now, you might say, what are those reminders for me? Maybe you don't have a plaque. Jonah doesn't have a plaque, but the Lord sends a storm to remind Jonah of his calling. He sends this storm, not to kill him, not to destroy him, but to remind him of the very one who was calling him. And I also thought about this and I said, you know what? Oftentimes in life, each and every one of us go through storms. Would you all say yes? All of us go through storms, and oftentimes those storms can seem and be very afraid and frightening. Just like all the people on the boat, they don't know what to do in the midst of a storm. And so if I was to ask you that question, what do you do in the midst of a storm? And who do you cry out to in the midst of that storm? They're not crying out to God in the midst of their storm. They're crying out to other gods, to other deities. But the one who should be crying out is sleeping at the bottom of the ship. And one of the things that this reminds me is every storm has a purpose. Don't forget that every storm in life has a purpose. And oftentimes we don't know what that purpose is initially because of the situation that's before us. But every storm, eventually, we would realize that it had a purpose and it served for something. And I believe in this story for Jonah, it served the purpose of teaching Jonah and reminding him of the calling upon his life. And had that storm not been enough, God also sends another messenger. What happens? He sends the captain of the ship. The captain of the ship doesn't know what to do. And so he sees everybody else is trying to somehow get this thing back in control. But now he goes to Jonah, and Jonah, why are you sleeping? Why is thou sleeping in the midst of a storm? He's the reason for the storm. His decisions caused the storm to take place. It was his decisions. And yet he's sleeping. And the captain of the ship tells him to arise, you sleeper, and call upon your gods. Probably thinking Jonah is like them, that he has many gods. But Jonah eventually tells them, no, I'm a worshiper of one true God. Amen. Even in the midst of his storm, he realizes whose authority he is under. And he understands, he even goes to the extent and says, I serve the God who is over the seas. So then, Jonah, why don't you accept this calling upon your life? And I believe this is another invitation for Jonah to repent. For Jonah to humble himself in the presence of God, in the presence of other people. Not to just confess, yes, I'm fleeing from God, but to confess and accept God's will and calling upon his life. Jonah gets up. And eventually, Jonah gets to a place in his life where they come up with a plan and try to figure out what is it that we're going to do. We'll see this in the upcoming weeks, but the people do not want to cast Jonah into the sea. That becomes Jonah's plan. Jonah's way of pleasing the storm, if you will. But the people, they don't care to do it. They continue to try to do all these other different efforts to get the storm to stop, but they don't realize the one that is over the storm. And maybe, just maybe, some of the storms in our life are because of some of the decisions that we made back at the port. We had a choice to accept God's calling and do His will, or to reject God's calling and do our will. And I believe God continues to send fresh reminders every day, to remind us to accept and say, I'm calling you. I'm calling you not to just to yourself. I'm calling you not just for your purposes, but I'm calling you for something greater than your eyes can see.
Amen.
And oftentimes, we don't realize exactly what God is calling us to, but we know He's calling us. And it's up to us to activate our humility and accept God's calling. So what is that call upon your life? What is it that you sense or hear the Lord calling you to? And maybe you know. Maybe this has been something you've been wrestling with for a while. Maybe this has been something that you've been challenged to and really allow yourself to accept. This is what God has been calling me to this whole entire time. And ultimately, that call is to bring glory to Him. That call is to bring glory to His name. And so every decision that we make is to bring glory to God. And so are you bringing glory to the Father's name through your decisions? I would hope that it would be your desire to do God's will. It would be your desires to accept what it is that God is calling you to do. And it's amazing that at the end, they tell Jonah to get up, arise, and call on your God, and perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. One of the things I love about this book of Jonah and just about God, it is not God's desire that any of us shall perish. It is not God's desire that any of us shall perish. I mean, that should be good news to us, that God is so patient with us that He's not desiring that we should perish. He gives us fresh and fresh opportunities daily after day. He gives us opportunity to accept what it is that He's calling us to. And I'm aware, you are aware, I'm sure, not every one of us are called to be a minister. But I tell you, each and every one of us is called to minister. Your calling might not be to stand in front of people. Your calling might not be to be a shepherd. But I say, every one of us should have the heart of the shepherd, the true shepherd. Jesus, the true shepherd. Jesus, the true teacher, the true preacher, the one who calls us, the one who equips us. He's the one. What is it again that God is calling you to? And are you running away from God's calling? Or have you accepted it? And maybe you're on the fence. Maybe you're on the fence of wondering, should I trust God or not? And I pray. That not even just by the end of this day, by the end of this sermon, that it would be your desire to accept God's divine purpose for your life. But whatever it is that's getting in the way, that obstacle that's getting in the way of you receiving and accepting that, I pray that God would remove that obstacle. that you would allow him to remove that obstacle that's in the way of you accepting his calling. And I think God sent his son Jesus to be that example for us, to be one who surrenders, who had surrendered to the Father's will for his life. He accepted the call. He wasn't like Jonah, who ran from the calling. He accepted and he embraced it, even unto death, on our behalf, on behalf of all humanity and creation. Jesus accepted that calling. And because of him, because of that calling he accepted, we have an opportunity, a blessed opportunity, to be children of the one true God. What love the Father has bestowed on us, that we shall be called children of God. He loves us so much that he would send his son to die on our behalf, that he and that we might be in right relationship with him. He loves us. And if you take anything away from this message, whether it is you accept God's calling or not, I would pray that you will. But accept his love. Accept what he has done in and through his son. And every Sunday we have communion. And what communion represents is what Jesus Christ has done for us. And what God has done in and through his son, Jesus Christ, to show forth God's love for us, that we might be willing to say, Lord, not thy will, not my will, but yours be done. And we have this hope because of what Jesus has done, each and every one of us, to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. So I pray, my sisters, I pray, my brothers, that you would accept God's calling upon your life, but that even just in this particular moment, that you would come and accept God's invitation of embracing and saying, Lord, I've run. Maybe you've been running for a while and you said, Lord, I'm tired of running from you, but it's my desire to run to you because I see what it is that you are doing and desiring to do in and through my life. So if that is you, I pray that you would come and receive the bread and the cup. And maybe you say, you know, Lord, I've been on this journey with you for a while. Lord, I've embarked on the ship that to Nineveh, and I've accepted what you've called me to do. But Lord, I want to renew my relationship with you. I want to strengthen my faith walk with you. So Lord, I pray that as I come and receive your cup, that I would recognize what it is that you're doing and desiring to do in and through my life from this point on. And there are some who may be on the fence, who don't know if they can trust God. They've heard of him. You've heard that he is loving. You heard that he is good. You heard that, yes, he has a purpose and a plan for your life. But yet, you're probably saying, I don't know if I can really trust. I don't know if I can take the next step and trust you. But I pray if you're there, you can also come and be invited and welcome and accept God's invitation to this table, because he's patient. He's patient. Not willing, not desiring that any one of us shall perish.